Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe. And I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show.
A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
This episode of Vegas Nation is brought to you by STN Sports from Station Casinos. STN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. Sign up today and get a new sign-up bonus for up to $50.
We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
What's up, everyone? It's time for another episode of the Vegas Nation podcast, where we give you all of our fast takes and smart coverage on your Las Vegas Raiders. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening. Follow us on all your favorite social media platforms at Vegas Nation. Download the Vegas Nation app and check out VegasNation.com for all of the great content we put up there on a daily basis. We are brought to you by FavorDrinkAFavor.com. And also, I want to remind everybody to check back here every Friday for new episodes on Vegas Nation. And also check out Cox Your View Channel 14 locally every Wednesday night for our Vegas Nation Blitz Show, where we cover all things happening with the Raiders on a weekly basis. So guys, we're going to go ahead and get into it. It's Heidi Fang here with Vinny Bonsignor, our Raiders beat writer, our Review Journal sports columnist Ed Graney, and our NFL writer Adam Hill. We're going to start breaking down what is actually going on here with the team. Some new signings and agreeing to terms with people here have happened in the past week. Let's start it off with running back Devontae Booker now joining the Raiders. He's signed his contract. He's going to add some depth to this backfield. I mean, the Raiders are really solidifying a lot of the positions down the roster as we look at it. Right now, Vinny, what do you look when you see a guy like Devontae Booker, who spent a lot of time with another AFC West team known as the Denver Broncos, now coming here to the Las Vegas Raiders? What do you think he brings to the team?
Well, I mean, you know, if something were to happen to Josh Jacobs, certainly a player that has, you know, has some experience under his belt. I mean, his numbers have definitely gone down over the last few years. So, you know, I don't think you can expect a whole lot of really high end production, but somebody who's capable. So, you know, definitely a depth piece. But, you know, I not much more than that.
Yeah, Adam, he's kind of been a guy that's always been a number two. We've seen him behind CJ Anderson and then Philip Lindsay for a while as well. So when you see a guy like, you know, Devontae Booker and just knowing that he's going to be someone that can be in that backup role, do you think he has the ability, let's hypothetically say that Josh Jacobs does go down, to be a back on not all the downs here, but like at least a one and two down back?
I mean, he's a guy who came into the league and had people thinking he could be a really, really good player. I mean, he's a fourth round pick, a guy who had a very successful college career at Utah, and then just didn't work out. He had a pretty successful rookie season, and his numbers literally went down every single year as they just kind of, you know, figured out he wasn't maybe the player that they expected him to be. But oftentimes you get a guy who's been in the league a few years who gets a fresh start, who then can, you know, can thrive or succeed and kind of start to living up to more expectations when they do move on and they do see, like, hey, you know, you have to do even more than you expected. You know, what it took to get to the league, you have to do even more to take it to the next level in the league. And sometimes the change in strategy helps that. So we'll see. But he just hasn't lived up to what, you know, a lot of people thought he could be at this level. But you never know with a guy and a guy who isn't going to be asked he's not going to have a whole lot asked of him with the Raiders, especially right away. So maybe he can find himself a little bit.
Ed, I want to go to you on another name that surfaced this week in the cornerback department of Prince Amukamara. He's a guy that was drafted with the Giants. I believe he was the 19th overall pick in 2011. He's going into his 10th season here and brings a lot of veteran experience to this team, who's going to have a lot of guys at cornerback, aside from LaMarcus Joyner, that are a little bit more, you know, youthful, a little bit more inexperienced than he is. So when you start looking right now at the Raiders cornerbacks with Amik Robertson, with Trayvon Mullen, Damon Arnett, and now the addition of Prince Amukamara, what do you think the Raiders have done for themselves here at this position going into 2020?
Well, I mean, starting with Prince, I actually thought it was a good signing for a lot of reasons, perhaps not even on the field. I mean, you have really young corners, especially Arnett. He's going to come in as a rookie. Mullen, he's only in his second year. You know, I mean, this is a guy who knows how to be a pro. He can handle the locker room. He can take these guys, you know, when they get back on the field, maybe even virtually, I'm not sure, but on the field for sure. You know, he can teach them so many things about the league and receivers and how to look for things. I actually like the signing a lot. I don't know how much he'll produce for them, because I think they're going to go with the young guys, but a guy like that is pretty invaluable. You don't have to pay him a ton. He's pretty invaluable to get in a locker room and teach guys how to be pros and, you know, sit with him and film. So I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I was far more enthused than with him than the Booker signing, only because, like the guy said, I mean, Booker had 2 carries and 6 catches last year in 16 games. So he's really going to have to prove that he has something left, although it's a position where, you know, there's not a ton of depth because you don't really know what they're going to do with Lynn Bowden. In terms of backs and receiving. But yeah, I like the Prince signing a lot. I think he can add a lot of experience and teach young guys how to play.
So Vinny, this is a guy, when you look at his overall numbers here, 10 interceptions throughout his career, and somebody who hasn't exactly started every game, has had a share of injuries and what have you. So when you think about him coming to the Raiders, obviously the goal is to get him to play every game. But what skill set do you think he possesses that can help enhance their secondary overall?
Yeah, let's just to be clear, he hasn't signed yet. From what I understand, he's going through the physical process either today or tomorrow. So, you know, it's still not official, but it's closing in on that. You know, he's been pretty durable the last couple of years. So he's definitely got that going for him. And I agree with Ed. You know, the professionalism and the experience that he brings in an otherwise extremely young cornerback room, especially when you're talking about, you know, guys that have started in this league, there's virtually none of that, really. You know, LaMarcus, he's more of a safety, but he plays the slot cornerback. But when you're talking about, you know, what on paper for your two starting safeties and the backups behind them, there isn't a whole lot of experience there. So I think also we have to always, you know, keep in mind the kind of offseason that you're dealing with this year. It's just going to be really, really tough for some of these young players who are learning things right now, but they don't have the ability, and we don't know when they're going to have the ability to actually get on the field and start applying some of what they've been learning, you know, to actual practicality on a field. You can know what your drop calls are. You can know what your coverage calls are, you know, doing it on Zoom or FaceTime or wherever the case might be. But when you're on the football field and you hear that call being made and you see what's happening in front of you, formations and things, and have to make quick decisions based on all that, that's a whole other world. And right now they're being deprived of that world, unfortunately. So I think veterans like Prince are kind of insurance, especially at really young positions that the Raiders are dealing with.
Let's get into that whole virtual experience and what's going on right now with different, with all the NFL teams, actually. So the offseason programs right now, as I understand it, Adam, they've been extended through May. What do you think that this means for the teams as far as keeping everything on track for getting to these training camps within their facilities and not having things continue virtually? I mean, there's only so far, I think, you can go with all of these virtual programs.
Yeah, but I don't think this is unexpected either. I mean, there's a lot of states that are seemingly really nowhere close to, you know, allowing, you know, teams to come back to facilities and that sort of thing. So while some states will allow it, we know that the NFL seems to be on a track of, you know, if one team can't, then nobody can. And so I think everybody kind of, you know, was fully expecting this decision and were prepared to continue with some of these off-season type procedures. And I don't think it necessarily has that much impact on what will happen with training camp, just because they still absolutely know that they need training camp. I mean, training camp is a necessity, not only for teams to get ready to play on the field, but to be in shape and to, you know, in terms of avoiding injury and that sort of thing. So they're still going to work to try to have their training camps in whatever form they can have them, whether it's moving them to other states that allow it or figuring out which way to go. I don't think this has much impact on that, but I think teams are ready for this and prepared for it. Everybody kind of knows that this is the state that we're in right now, and the NFL isn't going to decide when all this happens. It's going to be the virus deciding. That's what we're hearing from the federal level and the state level, and we just have to kind of see where we are in a couple of months. But, you know, teams have adapted pretty quickly. I know, you know, Vinny had a tweet yesterday about how the Raiders seem to have a lot of accountability and everybody's working toward a common goal and holding each other accountable for getting ready and preparing. So, you know, I think a lot of teams are on that same level and on the same boat, and they understand the reality of the situation right now.
I do want to get into that some more, but first let's go ahead, take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsor. We'll return to talk about the possibility that maybe some LA teams come to Las Vegas as well. So stay tuned right here on the Vegas Nation podcast. This episode of Vegas Nation will be right back.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
Welcome back to the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang, Ed Graney, Adam Hill, and Vinny Bonsignor. And Vinny, I want to take things to you here because you had written just recently about the possibility that the two LA teams, the Rams and the Chargers, may have to come to Las Vegas to play some games if the stay-at-home order stays in place with the California teams and within that area in Los Angeles. Because as of right now, I read, I believe it was on May 13th, that they're extending that order. So that could mean that we have an indefinite period, possibly through even mid-August, that these teams aren't going to be able to have maybe their training camp programs at their facilities or what have you. So what do you think this means for both the Rams and the Chargers? Will we see them here playing at Allegiant Stadium, maybe in the preseason or even within the actual regular season?
Well, it's, you know, certainly something that they want to avoid, no question about it. But it's something that you can't rule out. That's just the fact of the matter. You know, when you start talking about, okay, what would happen if, and it's not just the Rams and Chargers, you're also talking about the 49ers. So, you know, what would happen to teams that are in states that aren't fully open yet? You know, and so the next thing you have to do is start looking at, well, okay, what's close by and what's available and what's suitable? What stadiums, you know, are out there that could fill this type of a need? And lo and behold, there's Las Vegas, where it never used to be before. Now it is. And it's very close. So, there's undoubtedly that would be an option for both the Chargers and Rams, as would Arizona. And, you know, it's not ideal, but we're not in ideal situations. I know fans are like, you know, I've tweeted it a couple of times, put the story out there a couple of times, and you know, you have fans never, you know, tell them to pound sand. And it's like, all right, you know, okay, whatever. So you're not going to be part of that decision-making process. And while it isn't ideal, we're all in this together. So it's important, you know, for the Raiders, for everybody to be flexible and to be good neighbors, to help do their part, whatever that part might be. And if it means that Allegiant Stadium has to be a temporary home for the Rams or Chargers, so be it.
And it would also mean for the city of Las Vegas that it would be some probably more economic value for them. I mean, as it is right now, the Raiders have sold more tickets, I believe, than any other organization in the NFL right now. So, Ed, what do you think the impact of this would be for not just the city of Las Vegas, but just on the whole, for, you know, everyone here as far as jobs and the economy kind of trying to rebound if we do get the LA teams coming in here?
Well, it'd be bad for LA and good for us because they wouldn't have the games and Las Vegas would or Arizona would. The more games you have, the more times you need concessions. And we're talking about if people come to games. If not, that would be obviously the financial impact, the economic impact would be lower because you'd have fewer people working. You know, the fewer people in the hotels because people couldn't come to the games. But, you know, it'd be worse for LA, obviously. They have a $5 billion stadium and there'd be no one in it. So it's like, it's, you know, it's like the guy said, it's not good in any way. It's going to come down to, I think Adam mentioned it, the NFL sent a memo last night, which pretty much said, reopening consistent with medical and health guidance. We already know that, but the next two are very important. Permitted under current governmental regulations. So as Adam said, if your government's not going to let you in, you're not going in. And also if they reopen, it goes to a competitive equity. And that's why, as Mike Tomlin said, you can open up one and not everybody. You can't. The NFL is too parity-driven, too competitive. The teams spend too much money to let 15 in and others have to wait. So I don't think it's opening until everyone can come in and do whatever they want to do. I prefer, and maybe Adam can make this work out, maybe get a white spot, a big enough island to bring everyone there. We could see if the Southwest flies there, then I'll roll into White Island and have the team there. It'd be a great NFL season.
Yeah, so the Raiders actually have just released their official 2020 preseason home dates. So we should announce that here. Thursday, August 27th versus the Arizona Cardinals with the time yet to be announced, as well as Thursday, September 3rd versus the LA Rams. So if the Rams are in fact up here getting some work in, that'll be like a home game for both, let's say. So the training camp is what's become interesting to me as well, because Vinny, you mentioned there that San Francisco 49ers may as well have to look for another place to play their games. And that takes us up to Napa up there in North Cal, where usually the Raiders hold their training camp, and they were planning to do the training camp up there as well to keep in touch with their Bay Area fan base. But now if these stay-at-home orders stay in place, are we thinking that the facility here in Henderson is going to be ready in time for the Raiders to come here and host their training camp, Vinny?
Yeah, well, the facility is scheduled to be open in mid-June, so there's no question that it would definitely be ready, you know, barring any unforeseen circumstances. It would be ready for training camp in late July. I was talking to an NFL general manager yesterday, and we were talking about training camps for his team. And, you know, there's so many different, we don't have all the data points to figure it all out right now, you know, and there's still a lot of time or sometimes significant amount of time to go before teams have to make these final decisions on where they're going to have training camp. Because just as we talked about with the stadiums, you know, in certain states that aren't going to be open up or ready to go full on by the time the season starts, the same principle applies for training camp sites. The Rams are in Irvine. The Chargers are in Orange County. You know, the 49ers are up north in the Bay Area. The Raiders are supposed to be in the Bay Area, but the state of California might not be open by then. So what do those teams do? The Dallas Cowboys are in Oxnard, California. So what's going to happen if that's still the case? So you're going to have backup plans. I think the Raiders are in a pretty decent situation, you know, having an indoor facility and a facility that they can come to. Now, you know, the question is, where do you house your players? I guess for them, the M Hotel might be a possibility, which is, you know, right down the road from their facility. But other teams like the Rams, where are you going to put your players? If you have to do it in Thousand Oaks or someplace else, you know, so it's just there's a lot of, and we don't have all the information. And that's what's so frustrating in talking to the general manager. Yeah, we would like to make the decision right now, but we don't know. We just don't know where all of this is headed. And as Adam alluded to, it's going to be the virus that determines it, not us. It'll be the virus. So, you know, it's we're all speculating right now. But I think the most important, and I'm kind of rambling here, but the most important part of this whole equation is that teams just have to be flexible, and they have to figure out ways to be flexible and have backup plans. I'm sure those backup plans are being formulated right now. And for the Raiders, Henderson makes a lot of sense.
Like you said, speculating, but Adam, something I want to speculate on, because you were able to be a part of the UFC's event in Jacksonville, UFC 249, where there were no fans. Can you imagine what the process one would be like for the NFL teams to have to go through the amount of testing that the UFC is putting on now to make sure that people who are participating in particular venues are free and clear of the coronavirus before actually going into active competition? That's one thing. And then the other thing being, what would it be like if there were no fans in place? I mean, I think I saw a Korean baseball team putting out cardboard images of fans. Is this something that you could imagine that we would see, or hearing fake noise, if you will, to put in the background so that it feels like there's something there. What would you envision this to be like if there were a stadium without a crowd, and how would the NFL proceed with testing?
Well, yeah, the broadcast would have superimposed fans and crowd noise, and it would be a new job that's created in the sports world of having somebody who can hit the right buttons for the right amount of crowd noise. Like, crowd goes wild at a certain time, crowd applauds at a certain, like, kind of gets happy at a certain time, crowd is, you know, miserable, or, you know, have something bad happen. Like, all those things are going to be, like, computerized, and somebody's going to have to hit the right tone with that, which would be unbelievable to kind of watch the logistics of that. But inside the building, it wouldn't, I don't think it would look any different. It would look like just an empty stadium, which would be very weird, like watching a scrimmage game of some sort. And I think there are players that think that it would take something away from the emotions of the game a little bit. It would be a little bit clearer communication-wise for the players. You might see some crisper football at times, but I think the crowd not being there does take it away. But the broadcast will be very, very interesting, and I think it would look like it's a full stadium. I think they can do amazing things with the broadcast, and it would be very, very weird to see just fake fans and fake crowd noise. And you mentioned the cardboard fans you're seeing at the Korean baseball games. So European soccer could do that a little bit too, where they're going to have, you know, fans, and you could actually pay to put like a face of somebody on one of the fans during the games, which is a very, very weird concept as well. There's just a lot that I think that they're going to try to work out. But again, these things are all being discussed and talked about and planned every day. Even if nobody wants to talk about that on the record, that is happening. But it's nothing has been decided yet. Like, the ultimate goal is obviously to have full NFL stadiums. But I think a lot of people think that's not really realistic right now. And you saw David Tepper yesterday from the Panthers essentially admitting, because this is very weird, the NFL seems to have kind of shut down a lot of the executives. David Tepper from the Panthers basically said, we're not having full stadiums. That's out. And so I think that maybe took a lot of people aback, but it's kind of realistic, right? I mean, who right now thinks that there's going to be full stadiums at NFL games besides very, very optimistic fans? I don't think anybody can really envision that right now. So it was stunning to hear him say that, but at the same time, like, yeah, of course, that makes a lot of sense.
Just to speculate even further, Ed, I want to get your perfect vision of what it would be like and what it would take for the NFL to safely bring back games during the regular season to keep their schedule on track. Like, how much testing could you imagine that the NFL would probably put forward? And would this mean, let's say, as far as seating and envisioning the stadiums, as Adam said, would it be like one person per every four seats or something of that nature if we have to go forward with coronavirus plans in place? What would you think it would be?
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's a hard question to answer. I mean, do you go with the people who paid the most money? And there's a lot of people who probably paid the same, and who gets in and who doesn't? I think you either let people in, and, you know, I mean, I've heard of those situations where only half is full. I'd love to know how they're going to decide. Is it a lottery system? You're obviously reimbursing people for games they can't go to. So there's a lot to that in terms of only letting a certain amount of people in. This is very difficult because, as many experts have said, football is the worst sport for this. They're so close. There's blood. There's sweat. These guys would have to be tested numerous times, I would think. That gets into a ton of testing. And, you know, a lot of people don't think, I don't know if this would matter to anybody, but the public perception, you'd have a lot of people angry at that. If the NFL and every one of their players and coach, everyone would get tested numerous times, people, you know, who don't give a you-know-what about sports don't get tested. And I think it's a valid thing. But Heidi, I don't know. I mean, I've heard the same things. You could put one person in a child. I just would really like to know how they're going to choose which person. Are they going to go with the richest people with the most money who bought the expensive tickets? I don't know how you do that. And you're going to have a lot of people mad at that if they're not some of the ones that are let in and they also spend a ton of money on tickets.
Well, I think the way that would work is, you know, let's just say that it's 25,000 fans that are going to be allowed at games. You as a season ticket holder, you're going to be assigned a certain number of games. So for one game, it'll be 25,000 of the season ticket holders. Then the next game, it'll be the other 25,000 of your season ticket holder base, and then so on and so forth. So I think, you know, again, it's not ideal, but I think everyone that's a season ticket holder will have access to at least a couple of games, if not more, based on how many season ticket holders you actually have.
you could do that, but I'll tell you what, you're going to have some pissed off people who don't get in to see Tom Brady. I mean, people are, you know, hey, you get Buffalo, but these 25,000 get Brady, or you get this and these 25,000 get Breeze. You're going to have
to manage. And while I understand that, while I totally understand that, I mean, what can you really do? They're going to have to be pissed off. You know, people get pissed off at uniforms changes and things like that. So I just don't know what the other alternative, if that's the only safe way to do it, then, you know, people are just going to have to be understanding. We're all, you know, dealing with, we're all locked in our houses for, you know, 22 hours out of the day. You know, it's just something that you have to deal with. But I agree with you. Like, if I was a season ticket holder and I don't get to go see Tom Brady, I'm going to be pretty pissed off. There's no question about it.
Especially as much money as people paid for PSLs, which gives you the right to buy tickets to these games. You're like, I'm investing all this money in PSLs and then I don't get the games that I want to get. That's insane. They're going to have a lot of stuff to try to figure out. But again, it's beyond their control. But at the same time, people are not going to be happy with any of this.
Yeah, and there's no right way or reason we can even determine anything right now or how this will all play out, because like we all said, it's speculation, but we have to kind of try to start envisioning what the worst case scenarios could be. Are there going to be pissed off people? Are there going to be fans that can't attend? Are there going to be people who bought these PSLs, like you said, Adam, that can't get into the games after they make this kind of decision? These are all things we have to contemplate in these uncertain times. But as we sit here right now on this Thursday, that's probably about as far as we can go. Before we wrap things up, Vinny, I just wanted to ask you, do you have any word right now on the NFL meet-in plan for Southern California? Is it going to remain virtual? Are they still going to have that meeting, or will it be open at all to any of the media as they normally are? What's the plan right now with the latest NFL meeting coming up?
Yeah, it's all virtual. It's next week. It was scheduled to be, Marina Del Rey, California, next week. So, you know, obviously they can't. So now everything's going to be done virtually, from what I'm told, because, you know, and Ed's written about this before, there was a little bit of expectation that might be the target date for when we figured out whether Las Vegas was going to get a Super Bowl here in the next couple of, or next few years. From what I've been told, Super Bowls, you know, are not on the agenda for next week. So we'll have to wait to find out when Las Vegas gets a Super Bowl. We were told, what was it, Ed, before the end of the year, right? By the commissioner, yeah. The commissioner said this calendar year. That's why we kind of, you know, circled May, because that's normally when they do those type of things. So, now the question is, will they even announce that this year? Is that even on their radar right now? So unfortunately, you know, that's kind of fallen by the wayside. As far as media access, from what I'm told, you know, they're going to wait to see what comes out of the meetings, if there's any, you know, big rule changes or announcements. And I'm sure they're going to be talking about it. I mean, I would imagine what takes precedence right now is the schedule, stadiums. How do they roll out training camp? What do they do with the rest of OTAs? Because at some point, you know, after May, there's a hope that that teams can get on the field and start practicing the way they normally do at this time of year. So decisions are going to have to be made on that. Updates are going to have to be given from 32 different owners and their staffs on where they stand in their states, you know, as far as their buildings opening up. So I think it's going to be a lot of that type of stuff next week when the owners start meeting together virtually.
All right. So that'll do it for us here on the Vegas Nation podcast. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in today. Don't forget, we are brought to you here by Favor, drinkoffavor.com. Check us out on vegasnation.com. Download the Vegas Nation app. Subscribe to the show wherever you are listening for all your up-to-date Raiders content. And check us out weekly for the Vegas Nation Blitz, now airing on Cox Earview Channel 14 every Wednesday night. We'll be there with all of us breaking down all the latest here with your Raiders. And we will be back next week with some more information and all the dates here that could be coming up in the offseason and everything else happening with the team as best as we can during, like everyone saying, these uncertain times. So don't forget, follow everybody here on social media at Ed Graney, at Adam Hill, LVRJ, at Vinny Bonsignor, and I'm at Heidi Fang. And for the Vegas Nation crew, at Vegas Nation. Thanks, everyone, so much. We will be back next week.